Create your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Do you ever feel stuck on a hamster wheel, constantly running but getting nowhere? The secret is actually quite simple. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. It's time to get unstuck, reclaim your personal power, and recapture your zest for living. Now, here's your host, Deborah Jane Wells.
Hi, this is Deborah Jane Wells, life coach and Reiki master. Thanks for tuning into our show. You're going to want to have the tissue box handy today as we discuss powerful and touching stories of what animal companions teach us about trusting our intuition. I am utterly delighted to have one of my favorite people in the whole world here today as my guest, Rebecca Blackbird. Rebecca is an animal communicator and Reiki master, using a combination of empathetic communication and energy work. She helps people make conscious, confident decisions for their animal companions during times of transition, illness, and end of life to allow them to connect more deeply with their companions and to celebrate that bond throughout and after life. Rebecca also offers custom ceremonies to clients whose animals have passed, helping them to create a renewed sense of connection between human and animal companion, and a deepening of love that feels less painful and more celebratory. Rebecca developed her communication skills while working at a farm animal sanctuary in northern Colorado in 2003. She began her professional practice in 2005 and now works with clients around the world. She lives in Denver with her three cats, Alexa, Penny, and Snowball. You can learn more about Rebecca and her work at www.rebeccablackbird.com.
Hi, Deborah. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, Rebecca, you know I am just so delighted to have you with me. We've been talking about doing this for quite a while now.
Right. It's my pleasure. I'm excited as well.
So listeners, each week we explore the transformative power of loving yourself unconditionally, how choosing to fuel yourself with constructive core energy based in love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude produces a life of generous, effortless, gracious flow, filled with faith, hope, prosperity, peace, and joy. Your experience shifts from victim to victory, breakdown to breakthrough. As a life coach and Reiki master, I help people who are stuck in the hamster wheel approach to life, trapped by fear and the mistaken belief that busyness is the same as purpose. They can't stand the way they're living, but feel powerless to stop. As we work together, my clients discover what I discovered. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. Choosing love as your core energy changes your perceptions, opportunities, relationships, and priorities. You get unstuck, reclaim your personal power, and recapture your zest for living, moving yourself forward into a life you love. When love transforms your relationship with yourself, it can't help but transform your personal life, your work, and the world. Rebecca's own life is an inspiring example of the transformation that's possible when you shift from fueling yourself with fear to fueling yourself with unconditional self-love. So, Rebecca, what misery-making melodrama did choosing fear and the hamster wheel create for you? And how did learning to choose love change your life?
For me, this has been a constant process. It's really been a journey from that fear to love. And I guess it started for me when I was about 25, in 2000, from 2000 to 2002, my life changed dramatically. I chose to come out as a lesbian. And it meant ending my marriage and completely kind of shifting my perception of me. And I was very lucky to have family and friends who were understanding and supportive. But the problem was, I felt an incredible amount of guilt. I felt angry at myself that I had lied to myself for so long. And I honestly couldn't give myself that compassion and that love. So I couldn't really accept it from anyone else. I didn't even know what I needed. And I had thought when I came out that I would be honoring who I was and everything would be lovely and easy and fall into place. And it didn't, because of where I was. And I decided that I kind of needed to run away from that for a little bit. I really wanted to do something that got me out of myself and made a difference. And so luckily, I ended up volunteering for a farm animal sanctuary in northern Colorado. And that turned into a job. So I moved up there and worked there to do fundraising and event planning. And it was a wonderful place for me to go kind of be a hermit for a little while and honestly get away from myself. But in doing so, I kind of, you know, as we all do, discovered myself. And so I was there. I started there in 2002. And I got to work with the animals a little bit, but it wasn't until I started to take a meditation class, a heart-centered meditation class, which really connects to the energy and the wisdom in the body, in the heart. And from there, my meditation teacher taught Reiki classes. And so I took one of those. And at the sanctuary, of course, the animals outnumber the people. So I was able to offer Reiki to the animals when they were sick or getting ready to pass. And the sanctuary owner would ask me to be there. And so she asked me one day to be present and to hold space when two of the pigs at the sanctuary were passing. They were going to be euthanized. They were ready to go. And so I was there. And one of the pigs, Haynes, he showed us how it was done. He was just so ready. It was beautiful. I got to be present for it, and it was amazing. The other pig, when he was given a tranquilizer, started to hallucinate. And it was very stressful for him, very stressful for everybody. It took us a long time to get him settled down and to go through that transition process. Mm. And so afterward, the interns were upset, the vets were upset, the sanctuary owner was upset. It was just not we wanted to help them not suffer. And we all felt like we had kind of failed in that. And everybody left and I was standing in the barn by myself. And I went back into that feeling of being lost and that I hadn't helped at all. And I didn't know what I was doing there, that I was supposed to be holding space and I didn't do anything. And I was kind of going down into that spin and standing all alone, and I suddenly felt somebody staring at me. And I looked up and looked over, and there was a sheep named Chili who was standing on the other side of the gate from me, and he was standing on a pallet so he could look over the gate directly at me, so intense in that moment. And I said hello to him, and he just nodded his head, as he usually did when someone said hi, and then continued to stare. And so I thought to myself, okay, do you have something to say to me? Not expecting an answer. And I heard this, yes. And it was not...
Be careful what you ask for, honey.
Right, exactly. And so I said, okay, and I asked him what he had to say. And clearly, he said, if you want to do this, you need to listen and listen well. This is not about you. This is about them. This is about the animals. Let it not be about you. And I just stared at him and I said, you are absolutely right. It's not about me. And he just nodded his head and like, okay, my job is done. And he walked off and he left the barn. And I stood there for a couple seconds and then immediately thought I had had a psychotic break and I'd been up in the mountains for too long. And yeah. And
so I know you, and one of the things I hear in your story, which resonates to so many people's experience and resonates to mine, is this idea that when we are at these major turning points in our lives, and particularly when there is the need to find yourself, rediscover yourself, or maybe discover yourself for the first time, and in particular, find love for yourself, mm-hmm. the need to go off into the wilderness, mm-hmm. you know, go out of our normal environment and maybe be alone more, mm-hmm. Or certainly be in a different kind of a space that's going to give you room to connect in a way that you haven't before. You know, I hear that in your story. It was true of mine. In my case, I stayed in the house I was in. My husband went off to Washington, D.C., supposedly for 3 months to work with Elizabeth Warren in Washington, and he came back 3 years later. Well, he visited a couple times in between, but, you know, he was supposed to be gone 3 months. He was gone 3 years, and that was the universe's way of saying the only way this girl is going to find herself and find love for herself is if we take all the other humans out of her life,
right.
leave her with the cats, and see if they can help coach her through this.
Exactly.
So we pick up with you having this experience with Chili, and I remember you saying, wow, you know, like, did I just have a psychotic break with a sheep?
Right.
and I know you told me you went back to your place where you were living and sort of pondered this whole thing. And then you found the owner and finally found the courage to tell the owner what had happened. And what did the owner say?
Of course.
Of course he talked to you.
Of course. Chili, if anybody's going to talk to you, it's going to be Chili. And she... And that gave me, I think, the ability to say, okay, I did hear something. If she believes me, and from there, you know, she asked me to be present a lot more. And then, of course, Chili invited me to talk more. And at the time when he started talking, well, he started talking and it was always words. It has since changed. The information I get has changed, but then it was words. I couldn't ignore them. I couldn't say, oh, well, it's a subtle feeling. Maybe I'm making that up. It was very clear. And then when he opened that conduit, I suppose, there was a horse at the sanctuary named Rudy who also just immediately started talking to me. And he had more specific, agendas about what needed to happen at the sanctuary itself. And so I kind of got both of their viewpoints, Chili, who was very much a mentor and a guide and a teacher, and Rudy, who was, you know, the taskmaster and these things have to happen. And so I learned to listen to both of those kinds of sides.
And as Chili would say, to just, you're doing fine, everything's okay, it's all unfolding in its own time, just chill, Rebecca, just be.
Exactly.
So of course, I know we have some skeptics listening, mm-hmm. and what I didn't mention at the beginning is Rebecca is the animal communicator that works with my family, with me and my threesome, Mortimer, Sitta, and Maisie. And I can tell you that the first time she came, while I believe the universe is full of all kinds of amazing things, there's a part of me that's skeptical and knows that there's people out there who take advantage of people. And I didn't think that Rebecca was one. She had been recommended by someone I respect. But all I told her was the names of my three cats. In fact, she said, don't tell me any more than that. Mm-hmm. And then I let her have the rest of the conversation with them. And I am telling you, listeners, the things that she came up with that were very specific, she couldn't know them unless she lived with me, she knew someone who lived with me who told her, or those cats were telling her. And she didn't know anyone else who lived with me. My husband was still off in Washington.
Right.
And the reality is that she is able to communicate, and oh, by the way, so are we. So the one idea that I want to plant before we have just a minute or so before our first break, and then we'll be back with lots more, is Rebecca mentioned in the beginning, Chili the Sheep used words because that's where Rebecca was in her maturation in terms of her ability to communicate with animals. So words is what she understood, and that's what Chili was able to use. And so what I find is, if you're saying to yourself, well, that's Rebecca, she has special gifts, I can't talk to my animals. What I do, my level is also, my level is now still at the word place. I know that when I use the words, it tunes my energy to that frequency. It tunes it to the feeling and the intention behind those words. And my cats read the energy. They're not, they don't tend to be very word-based. They do tend to be treat-based, however. They know where those are kept. But you know, they read energy. And so I use the words, and lots of them, because I'm a talker, as you probably know by now, to get my energy tuned properly so that the being, the animal companion that I'm trying to communicate with, will be able to connect with the energy, which is what they understand. So
yes,
it's an incredible journey. And we're going to take a short break right now and be back with more in 2 minutes.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at DJWLifeCoach.com and click on the Current Offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the Current Offers tab on DJWLifeCoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll-free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah at DJWLifeCoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
Hi, everyone. This is Deborah again, and welcome back to our show with my guest, animal communicator extraordinaire Rebecca Blackbird. In the previous segment, we discussed how choosing to fuel ourselves with fear-based core energy creates misery in our lives, and how choosing to fuel ourselves with love creates a life of generous, effortless, gracious flow instead. In this next segment, Rebecca and I are going to look more deeply at where she went from her initiation by Chili the Sheep and Rudy the Horse, where she went, where her gifts took her when she stepped into her authentic calling as an animal communicator.
Thank you. So when I began communicating more professionally, offering it more professionally, my communication shifted from primarily hearing words to hearing receiving, I suppose, images and physical sensations and emotions. And most of what I get is kind of a sense of things. So that's the basic sort of nuts and bolts, I suppose, of it, the metaphysical nuts and bolts. My primary job with my clients is to show them that they know what their animals want and need, that they get this information, and I'm just confirming it for them most of the time. And I feel like I want people to be able to trust what they get. because when they get that confirmation from me, when I tell them this, your animal says this and this and this, and they say, I knew that, and I thought that, and that makes sense, and I know what you're talking about. Even if I personally have no idea what the animal is actually talking about, I'm just sort of giving them a picture. It confirms that connection to something deeper. It confirms that connection that people have with their animals, that they're not, quote, making it up. And the most profound, beautiful, my favorite story that I can think of was a session that I had with a dog named Kala, and I'm changing her name here to just protect her privacy. But she was a golden retriever. They lived up in the mountains. She lived up the mountains with her family. And so I had to do a phone session with them. I had never met Kala before. And she was getting ready to transition. She was getting ready to pass away. She had been sick for a little while. So I'm talking to her person. And I get that Kala gives me the picture that she's outside lying in the sun on their deck. And she's okay. She's just in that transitional place. And she started to tell me about her house and showing me pictures of her house, and specifically showing me kind of detailed pictures of the kitchen. And then even more specifically of the dishwasher and how important that was. And so I'm just saying, and the dishwasher is right here. And her person said that's where she loves to sleep. Mm-hmm. It's like her favorite place in the entire house. And Kala says, she says, I want you to know how much I love this house and how much I love you. And we have had such good time together. And there was all this love and all this gratitude. And we had talked for 30 minutes. And at that moment, as soon as she said that, Kala started to pass away. And her person, her woman said to me, you know, I think she's passing right now. And she had her two young daughters with her, and she sat there with Kala and told her everything was okay and how much they loved her. And I just held space, as I had before up at the sanctuary. And I just sat and I listened. And when her person asked me if she was okay, how she was doing, I was able to say she's in no pain. Every breath she takes, she's moving more and more out of her body. She's expanding more and more out of her body until she passed. And Kala continued to talk to me. And as she was leaving her body, she showed me this image, and I explained it to her person. I said, there's this image she gives me where there's Kala lying there, and then there's you, and there's your daughters, and then she expands out, and there's the deck, and she expands out more, and there's the house, and the yard, and this beautiful view, and the lake, and the mountains. And then she expanded into this beautiful blue sky, this perfect blue sky shot through with stars. And she said, tell her, Kala said, tell her, she thinks she's just one person. She thinks she's so small, but she's so connected. This is all connected. Mm. And she's so much bigger than she thinks she is. And it was this beautiful, profound moment.
Yeah. We are all much bigger than we realize.
Right.
And that it's all connected. I call that, you know, if Kala was a filmmaker, I call that the God's eye view. You know, that she's going back so that the camera can get this really wide picture of how, you know, it's all interconnected, and all those people we meet and the animal companions and those we love and the jobs we have and the work we do in the world and those interactions that we think are these chance encounters. There are no chance encounters.
Absolutely.
And so that's what Kala had you help her humans know. In those final moments.
Right.
In those final moments.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I also, the other thing that, as you began talking about the work you do with people, and the fact that your role is in many ways to validate what the humans already think they know, but it surpasses logic and reason. One of my favorite quotes from Albert Einstein, which I'll paraphrase, is that, you know, human beings were given intuition and reason. Mm-hmm. And intuition is a sacred gift, and yes, reason is a faithful servant. Mm-hmm. But we have gotten it all backwards so that we have elevated the servant and totally forgotten about the gift.
Right.
And that the role of the reason and the logic is to validate the intuition, not vice versa. When you look for, I'm sorry, the backwards, the role for the intuition is mm-hmm. to validate any logic potentially. It is the core. Because when you say, well, I have this gut feeling, but I have to use reason or other people to validate it for me before I'll let myself follow it, that's like using kindergarten concepts, no matter how delightful they may be, to validate a doctoral dissertation. You know, intuition is so much bigger and so much higher and so much more all-inclusive of every aspect of what should be considered. That what you do is you help people learn to trust their intuition, hence yes. the title of our show.
Right.
Which is, you know, what Kala wanted is she wanted her humans to trust that they knew and, oh, by the way, that they were part of something way, way bigger.
Yes.
Way bigger.
Exactly. Exactly. And especially when our animals pass, I do work with a lot of animals who are transitioning, and the messages and the love is just amazing. But I feel like they also want us to understand how we aren't alone. You know, we feel so, especially when an animal companion passes, sometimes we feel so alone with our grief and so alone just in the world. We have this this being who loves us and understands us unconditionally, that who then leaves, and we feel alone with that. And what I get from animals is that they're always saying, you are not alone, and I am never gone.
Yeah.
You know, we can't, this relationship never ends.
Well, and it, none, I believe, mm-hmm. with every fiber of my being, none of our relationships ever end. They change form.
Absolutely.
They change form even while we're still physically what we call alive and on this earth. And, you know, we may have a time where we're very, very close and we're interacting in certain ways, but then the relationship changes and shifts and other relationships come into our lives. And but you know, to me, death is no different than that. It's just another transformation of the way in which the relationship may exist. But it is not about separation, because we are not separate. We
right.
are one.
Right.
We are one. The only separation that occurs from fear and in our minds.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, they're just amazing like that. One of the things that I get told a lot when animals are kind of describing this movement out of their body is that they say, when I'm in this physical reality, when I'm being a physical dog or a physical cat or a horse, I'm breathing in and out of this body. When I move out of that, all I'm doing is breathing in and out of this bigger body. I'm just taking on a different form.
Yeah. That's what deep breathing really looks like.
Yes.
I think I breathe deeply because I was a trained singer, but boy, can you breathe deeply once you're in that place.
Absolutely.
Well, and I also think that the nature of relationships we have with animal companions, because it is often the place people go when to tap into unconditional love. And when I've done a fair amount of work with Pema Chodron's writings and teachings, and she's a Buddhist monk who is Western-based Buddhist monk and written amazing stuff. And she talks about the fact that when she's teaching people about unconditional love and meditation and how to connect, that often when she says, okay, now when this first part of the meditation, I want you to focus on someone who you just love, who you love unconditionally, who you know loves you that way. And many people, because they've had hard times with relationships and feel they haven't experienced that in a human relationship, the place they go to tune themselves to that frequency is to their relationship with the beloved animal companion. And it's part of, it's where she sends them to know, oh, that's what that unconditional love feels like, and then teaches them, the work that I do with people, which is, and how do I foster that feeling for myself? That feeling of embracing all of it, not denying any of it, embracing all of it, even the little annoying idiosyncratic quirks that we, can't quite get out of our systems. And just seeing that all as part of what makes me delightfully Deborah and you delightfully Rebecca.
Yes.
And Chili the sheep, delightfully Chili the sheep.
Yes, delightfully. He was, very much.
Well, I look forward to, we've talked about doing more shows together because we love doing it. Yeah. And one of the shows I'm going to share more about the very first time Rebecca worked with me and my threesome and what came out of that. Because it's not just because it's about, was interesting in my life, but there's so many of these messages in there. This message about, please make sure they know they're bigger than they realize. When Kala asked Rebecca to transmit that message, that wasn't just her humans and the rest of us are all itty bitty and powerless. Mm-hmm. It was, she was speaking a larger truth for all of us. And you know, my guys, one of the interesting things I do remember that happened is that one of my cats, I had a cat who had come in. I had these 2 9-year-old feline brothers who were littermates, literally, who I adopted from a shelter at the age of 9 with their own traumatic past. And I brought in this 4-year-old, and the big cat, the firstborn of the 2 boys, was not handling her showing up all that well. And an interesting thing that happened was, in the midst of all this, we'd been back and forth and back and forth and negotiating and talking about it. And at the near the end of the session, he looked at Rebecca and said, no, I really have accepted that Maisie needs to be here. Maisie's the cat. This is Sid talking. And, Rebecca's repeating out loud what she's getting from Sid. And I said, really? And he says, and I said, ask him why. And he said, because she, Deborah, she needs to finish the work she didn't get to do with that other cat. Now, Rebecca knew nothing about another cat. There wasn't really any evidence of another cat. There had been another cat. And, of course, there was a lot of crying that day. I started sobbing. I thought, oh, my God. I said, you're so smart. I hadn't even figured that out that I needed. I had had a kitten who turned out to be a feral kitten that the shelter didn't tell me was feral, who for the 8 months that I had her, she basically attacked me and bit my face until I'd wake up with blood running down. And I mean, it was just no matter what I did, I couldn't. I tried everything. I worked with an animal behaviorist. I worked with all kinds of things. And we were reaching, we eventually reached a place where she actually went to live with a friend of mine who raises feral litters for shelters and who has great experience with this. And by the way, she's done great at her house. She had 3 dogs, 5 cats, and Maggie settled in and was like, "Wee, it's like a party in a frat house." My girlfriend says, "Deborah, you just weren't exciting enough."
Right.
She was all alone with you trying to figure this thing out, and you were still grieving for your cat who had passed and you'd gotten her. And so here's Sid, who never overlapped with Maggie. Maggie didn't live here when Sid lived here. Maggie had been gone before Sid got here. Who's telling Rebecca she has work she was trying to do with that other cat that she needs to finish. She needs this little girl cat, this other little girl cat who is very loving. Oh my God. Because that's an energy she's seeking, a void, a need she's seeking to fill in her life. So the things that come through, and then I started to really understand the 3 cats being here in a totally different way. And eventually when I became a life coach, this was earlier in the journey at that point, the role they ended up taking on in the coaching, because they have clients. I'm here to tell you, they're very engaged with the clients and very connected. And it is time for us to take another short break, and we're going to be back, and Rebecca is going to tell us another amazing story.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
I'm Dr. Sam Nussbaum with WellPoint. We proudly support the March of Dimes work in reducing premature birth. Almost 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and life-saving programs. These programs, such as Centering Pregnancy, help moms in our communities have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Please join us during Prematurity Awareness Month in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit MarchOfDimes.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at djwlifecoach.com and click on the Current Offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the Current Offers tab on djwlifecoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
You are listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll-free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. 346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah at djwlifecoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
Hi, Deborah here, and welcome back to our show with my guest, Rebecca Blackbird. In the first two segments, Rebecca and I examined the transformative power of choosing love as your core fuel to get off the hamster wheel and create a life of flow. Kala the dog shared with us her God's eye view that whatever our circumstances, we are never alone. We are always connected to everyone and everything, and that in each moment, we are always much bigger than we realize. In the final segment of today's show, Rebecca will share with us the key life lessons she relearned during the recent passing of her beloved longtime animal companion, Miranda, the cat.
Thank you. Miranda was with me for 16 and a half years. She was all of 6 pounds for most of her life. And she went into kidney failure a couple weeks before Easter. And when this started to occur, I suddenly went back into that place of not trusting myself. And her, this whole experience with her really was a reminder that I get to make a constant conscious decision about moving from fear and self-doubt to love and trust. I felt like I knew what Miranda needed to begin with. And as she got weaker, as it got harder for her to move around, as she continued to lose weight, I started to doubt myself. She would have kind of difficult nights, and my initial sense that she would determine when she was ready to pass, that she would pass on her own, that I even knew when she was going to pass, all of that started to go out the window. And I started to fret about what if I need to bring somebody in, and what if I do the wrong thing, and what if I fail her and I fail myself and I can't hear anything, and oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm doing. And it all kind of came in very heavily on me. And so in order to manage that, I became busy with like the business of dying and about when she needed to be fed and when she needed water and when she needed fluids and where she needed to be. And there was this moment, and I'm sure it was initiated by Miranda, who was very tough. And she was almost like she looked at me, and she would do this little non-meow meow, or she just open her mouth and make a little squeak. But it was this moment of just look at me. Just pay attention and be present. Be present to me the way I have been present to you. For 16 and a half years, she had seen me through so many life changes. And I took a moment and I took a breath. And I said to her, like I had said to Chili many years before, you are right. Mm. And I was able to relax. I was able to pay attention to her. And she was able to show me when she was hungry and when she was thirsty and when she needed fluids and where she needed to be. And we were able to get into a rhythm. And I felt like that communication was so strong. And on Easter Sunday, we got to spend a really good day together, just lying on the blow-up mattress in the living room, which was where she was the most comfortable. And she would sleep, and I would pet her head. And that evening, we were sitting there, and suddenly she started to twitch a little bit. And I recognized it almost immediately as it's one of the transition like indicators. It's from having kidney disease. And I, as the Reiki practitioner, suddenly went, okay, I have to do something. I have to help her. I have to fix this. And so I opened up a Reiki session and was sitting there, and immediately she said, no, you don't need to fix anything. And you're too high to be able to see what's going on with me. I need you to lie down. I need you to look in my eyes, and I need you to be present again. So I did that. I lay down and I watched her face, and the twitching stopped after a while. And I watched her eyes constrict and dilate. And I kind of felt that she was in the process of leaving her body already. At this point, I didn't know, you know, if it lasted half an hour or 2 hours. It was sort of this timeless experience with her. But I was just present with her, and I breathed and I opened my heart, even though I was afraid, even though I was crying, even though I knew I was going to miss her. I just opened up, and there was this moment of both of us receiving one another. And her breathing changed. She would do this thing where she kind of took a breath in, this deep breath, and then she would sort of snort a little bit, and then her breathing would be shallow, and then she would take this deep breath in again. And that happened about 3 times. And on the 3rd time, after she breathed out, I looked at her, and that 3rd eyelid had moved away, and her eye got big, and I saw her. And she saw me, and I said, hi. And then she moved her head back into my hand. My hand had been behind her ears, scratching her head. It just moved into my hand, and she was gone. Mm-hmm. And I realized at that moment how grateful I was that I got to be present, and that I trusted that I listened to her in that moment, and that I made that choice to get out of my fear and out of my self-doubt. And help her on that journey, be present to her on that journey. And then I knew that she was okay, and she was absolutely okay.
One of the great lessons I learned about grieving, and one of the most effective ways to be with someone when they are grieving, when they are working through something difficult, is to be with them. No, not doing, just being. Yes. And I learned it from one of my cats, as I learned so many things. And my cat Mortimer, who is the guardian, when you guys get my book, when it comes out in a couple months and you read about the sage, the guardian, and the muse in feline terms here, Mortimer shows up as the feline version of the guardian from my personal board of directors. So he's all about safety and watching over and taking care of. Mortimer's the one who comes and tells me it's past time when I should go to bed. Or he'll come down and tell me you haven't eaten in a while. It's not about him eating. It's about me eating. So he's very much the caretaker. And so one of the things that I noticed with him from the time he first came to live with me is I was going through a lot of hard stuff then. I was deeply in my own physical and mental and emotional and spiritual transformation only a couple weeks into it. And so there was some crying. There was a lot of crying, in fact, and a lot of deep grieving as I dealt with things I had never dealt with. Mortimer would just come and sit. He would sit across from me or next to me, and he would just be. He wouldn't, you know, tap me on the arm, try to get me to pet him or do anything. And he wouldn't do anything. He would just sit and look deeply into my eyes while I cried. And he would just be with me until I had released what needed releasing and come back to a more centered place where my energy was coming back to center. And then he would just stand up and, you know, he would often he would give me a strong blink like, okay, that's done now. Yes. Or nod his head, and then he'll just walk off and go be somewhere else. And that knowing how to just be with another who's in pain, not give advice, not tell them what you would do, what you've done, what didn't work, what, you know, not try to distract yourself with Reiki or food or, you know, pick your thing or over meditating or, you know, even Zen masters and spiritual coaches and teachers, they have their things they distract themselves with too.
Yes.
It's just different tools. Knowing how to just be there. Just be there and relax into all of it unfolding in its perfect time.
Yes. Yes. I have, it also makes me think of a client I had who's dog was passing, and he had cancer, so his transition was this very long transition. He really did well. He was healthy, even though he had cancer. And she had this diagnosis and was afraid for him. And so in order to kind of protect herself, she kind of pulled away from him because she was expecting this transition to happen. And so in anticipation of that, she would pull away from him a little bit. And it created just this rigidness and this constrictive kind of quality in their relationship that they had never had before. And he said to her in one of our sessions, I know how to do this. This is going to be okay. And it's going to be perfect in its time. And he showed me a picture of her sitting next to him and holding him and just putting her head in his fur. Mm. And he said, just lean into me. And I will guide us through this. And and I think that goes along with that just being present. There aren't really words that have to go along with that. There's nothing we have to do. It's just leaning into it and letting it happen.
And that these lessons are true. Mm-hmm. Whatever form the particular transition in our life is taking. So whether it's a transition that we label in our dualistic, you know, dichotomy of good and bad, and, you know, whether it's something good like the birth of a child, mm-hmm. you know, the graduation from college, getting a new exciting job, or things that we tend to label as more challenging and things we tend to resist, which is getting laid off, the death of someone we love, aging and losing some of the physical and mental abilities we used to have, that the ability to understand that it's all unfolding perfectly and that each of these seasons, each of these transitions between these seasons, all of the relationships that come into our lives, the people who we are close to for a time and then for a host of reasons no longer are, the people, whether it's physical passing or mental and emotional disagreements or just growing beyond where we were, that these things serve a purpose for the leg of the journey that we experience them, and that the best thing we can do is to relax into them, and embrace them as the perfect organic unfolding.
Yes.
I mean, what Miranda helped you remember in that process when you started to forget.
Yes.
Is she helped you remember, in my words, who you are and whose you are. That you are Rebecca Blackbird, unique co-creative expression of the divine. That when we forget who we are and whose we are, then we have this sense of being on a high wire with no net and no people, and we're feeling a little dizzy and wobbly. You know, no one there to catch us. We're all alone. Yeah. But when we remember who we are and whose we are in every moment, with all the resources, the wisdom and the love and the power within us, coming from that being a unique co-creative expression of the divine, then it's all unfolding perfectly.
Yes.
It's all unfolding perfectly.
Absolutely.
I am reminded, and I don't talk about it at any length in the book, but I talk about the fact that one of the big transition points for me, when I thought life I couldn't get any lower, then three beings I love dearly passed in a 5-week period.
Mm.
And then I realized that now grief would be added to the daily mix. And one was one of my cats, one was my dad who had been sick for a long time, and one was my beloved pottery mentor and friend, Barry McHale, who passed with no warning at all. He was 58 years old, younger than I am now. And I remember that as I worked through that process of really coming to terms with my own grief and really processing, it wasn't just about those three beings who had passed and my relationships with them, but it stirs up all that unresolved grief that we've never let ourselves grieve.
Right.
Now, a lot of times people come to me and they say, you know, Deborah, you don't understand. If I finally let myself cry for all the things I didn't let myself cry for, the losses along the way, I'll never stop. And the interesting thing is, it doesn't seem to work that way.
No.
It seems to be that when we don't resist crying, when we see it as the emotional equivalent of why you drink water after a deep tissue massage, because you've released a lot of toxins into the body, so you're going to use water to help flush them out so they don't then get trapped in some other part of the body and then you get what we call sick. Well, same thing's true when you do deep emotional work. Those tears are an important part of flushing those, of really clearing the experience. And when we resist that and don't let ourselves honor all our emotions along the way, we do get stuck. And we get kind of clogged up and bogged down.
Yes, absolutely.
And so for me, I had three aging cats at the time. The second one passed in this time of my dad dying and my friend dying. So another year later, the last of the three cats came to his transition point, and what a different experience it was for me. Mm. And my wonderful veterinarians at Mile High Vet, Alon Waskell and Marla Crete, who worked with me in that transition process, and how the universe set up everything perfectly. So this is my beloved Rembrandt, or Rem. Mm-hmm. A year before he died, he was diagnosed with immune-mediated hemolytic anemia. I think I got that right. Mm-hmm. And essentially, when his marrow would release new blood cells into his system, his immune system thought they were foreign bodies, and so it would kill all the new blood cells. Mm-hmm. So I had to give him medication every morning. Well, Rem is an interesting cat. He was a blue-eyed white. He was profoundly deaf, and he had some idiosyncrasies and things he was scared of. But by me being able to do that, it got to the point where I could easily medicate him, which meant that when it came time for his transition, I could do the pre-medicating, so that by the time the main event happened, he was completely relaxed. He was literally lying on top of my chest on the bed when the vet showed up to help him make the final passage. And I look back on that and just see how it all came together perfectly. So that brings us to the end of our show for today. This is Deborah Jane Wells signing off for now. Tune in again next week when I'll be joined by Voice America executive producers Randall Libero and Nathan Jett for an episode entitled Finding Your Voice, The Power of Radio. Many thanks again to my guest today, Rebecca Blackbird, and to my incredible Voice America production team, including my engineer, Roland Maldonado, executive producer, and everyone else at Voice America who keeps me on track and makes this show possible. If you'd like to learn more about the transformative power of life coaching and the 60-minute complimentary coaching sessions I offer, listen to the recording of my very first episode on January 9, starting at the 37-minute mark. Remember, when you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. You are loved and loving, blessed and a blessing. And so it is. Namaste.
Thanks again for listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life. Please rejoin your host, Deborah Jane Wells, again next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's time to get off that hamster wheel and start fulfilling your destiny by creating a life you love.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.